Chapter 2, Accountability. It is not what we do, but also what we do not do, for which we are accountable. Jean-Baptiste Molière. The popularity of being accountable might be just a notch above being disciplined. Both are something we know we should do, but we do not want to do. Why is that? Down deep, we all think we are awesome people. It is much easier for me to see what someone else is doing wrong than to acknowledge my own wrongdoings. Many of us, myself included, suffer from the sin of pride, and the idea of admitting our shortcomings to another is unsettling, to say the least. There are two types of accountability. One is to the Lord, and the other would be to a person or a group of people. Somehow it is easier for me to admit my shortcomings to the Lord than to another person. Why is that? Again, it is our pride. It is a challenge from our vantage point to see what we're doing wrong. I love the Bible verse that says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in others' eyes and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the plank from your brother's eye." Matthew 7:3. To get the plank out of our own eye, sometimes we must seek help to become aware of what our plank or blind spot is. Others always see it more clearly than we can see it ourselves. Once we are aware of our blind spot, then we must be willing to change it and grow through it. Bringing about change is extremely difficult. In my experience, I've seen only a few organizations that have been successful in helping people transform their lives for the better. Weight Watchers, Alcoholics Anonymous, and Teen Challenge come to my mind. What do these organizations have in common? Well, their members must be accountable for their actions. The leaders of the organizations have built-in accountability systems to support those who struggle with addictions and unhealthy lifestyles. Members get access to individual sponsors, counselors, and support groups to help them make permanent changes in their lives. Should Christians be accountable in their walk? Just because we're Christians does not mean that we do not make mistakes. We frequently have blind spots that are a challenge for us to see, but they are glaring to others. We are not made to live a life without Christian brothers and sisters who hold us to our faith. Those who care enough for us that they lovingly correct us when they see us begin to falter. The book of Proverbs says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." Proverbs 27:17. If you want to get better at anything, it helps to surround yourself with people who are better than you. They help you to up your game. As a runner, I always run faster when I run with a partner or I am entered in a race. There's just something about falling into pace with someone else. Solomon was known as the wisest man ever. He once said, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If one falls, one can help the other up." Ecclesiastes 4:9-10. Christian accountability can be found in all sorts of groups. Many churches offer a small group structure to help not only with fellowship, but to provide an atmosphere of support. Bible study groups with discussions following also provide a forum to facilitate fellowship and support. People are even able to form a group for personal Bible study with an app called the Bible app. For the past 3 years, I have been involved in such a group, taking 3 years to read the entire Bible. There's a daily checkoff of the chapter to be read and an opportunity to share online with the group. As I was doing my research for this chapter, I even discovered a Christian accountability app for phones. The years I grew most in my faith was when I was part of an accountability group called Covenant Disciple. It was through my Methodist church, and 8 of us, both men and women, met every Sunday to do a checkup on 10 actions. Those areas were acts of compassion, justice, devotion, and worship. We agreed to do those actions on a daily or weekly basis. We decided as a group what those 10 actions would be. The actions we agreed to were: number one, express genuine appreciation to at least one person each day. Two, have a meaningful conversation with at least one family member each week. Three, stand up for those who are not present or able to stand up for themselves. Four, practice responsible stewardship of the world's resources in my own body. Five, read the Bible daily. Six, pray each day for someone else, including members of the Covenant Disciple Group. Seven, pray for those who lead us in worship and those who will visit us to be touched by grace. Eight, worship every Sunday. 9. Obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit to serve God and my neighbor. 10. Recognize the warning of the Holy Spirit when my words should remain unspoken. Those 10 actions were easy to measure as to whether we had done them or not. At first, we all struggled with spiritual promptings. That is, when you get a feeling that you should or should not do something. As we gathered week by week, we got better at recognizing those promptings. By listening as others shared, we got better at discovering our own promptings. This group worked very well for me. However, you might do better with a spiritual coach or mentor. That is a person of the same gender whom you feel is further along the road spiritually than you. If you choose a spiritual mentor, you must also be willing to take their counsel. Whether you choose an individual or a group, you must have two important elements: trust and the ability to relate. Developing trust is a slow process, and it takes time to develop and grow. As people meet to share, they begin to establish rapport with one another. To be accountable, one must be willing to open up and be vulnerable. To do this, there must be trust. Relating is an important factor in Christian accountability. It is helpful when the group shares a common bond or has been through similar experiences. People who can relate to one another have empathy with one another. As stated as we began this chapter, being accountable to another person or persons is only part of the accountability challenge. We must also be accountable to God. That accountability can be called spiritual formation, or just being formed in the Spirit. In the many years we spent in the Methodist Church, we learned to admire its founder, John Wesley. All his life, John rose early and spent time with the Lord. John was a pioneer in creating methods, hence the name Methodist, for believers to do a checkup on their spirituality. These have been called the means of grace, and they are prayer, searching Scripture, receiving the Lord's Supper, fasting, and conferencing. John based much of the Methodist movement on those five means that God uses to draw us closer to Him. Much has been written about these. One book, by Elaine A. Heath, Five Means of Grace, gives the details of those means. In addition, John came up with 21 questions for personal accountability. These questions, plus more from other theologians, can be found in articles on the internet. Whether you decide on a group or a mentor, it is imperative to establish the criteria before beginning. Suffice it to say that to have spiritual growth, we need a plan. That plan depends on the individual, but without a plan, spiritual growth will not happen. As I look back on my life, I can see that when I had a plan in place, I was much more successful. When I had no plan, I floundered. When I get off track, I must go back to some plan. As I was writing this chapter, I realized I was floundering again. That means getting back to a plan. As I typed those 10 covenant acts, I was struck by wondering why I had given up on those. I decided that could be my plan. Isn't it great how God reminds you of what you need to do? Hopefully, as I finish this book, I will be back on track again.